1 Timothy chapter number 4, if you would, please. 1 Timothy chapter number 4. Paul is nearing the time of his departure. He tells Timothy that in 2 Timothy specifically. And he's got some younger preacher boys that he wants to kind of remind them of some things. He says in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith." Tonight I want to preach to you a message entitled, "Don't Stray Away." And the purpose is to give us some things that I think has very much been a part of pastor's ministry, should be a part of our ministry going forward, regardless of who God calls to be the pastor here. And I think things that Paul was telling his preacher boys, be careful of these things. Paul uses the word keep 5 times in these 3 books. 3 of those are imperatives. And it means to attend to carefully, or take care of, or to guard. To keep one in the state in which he currently is. He uses the word continue 3 times. 2 of those are imperatives. Abide or remain. He uses the word maintain 2 times. To set or place before or to superintend. He uses words like watch, endure, turn away, take heed, meditate, hold fast. To these young preachers who soon would not have the influence of an Apostle Paul, they were going to have to learn to stand on their own feet. And so tonight I'd like us as a church to see that there is a tendency to stray away. You must recognize that tendency in our individual lives and us as a church. It's a sad commentary as we look at great institutions, whether they be churches or Bible colleges or mission boards, and how many times they turn away. We certainly do not want that. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word, and we pray tonight that as we open it, that you would give clarity of thought and that our people would be challenged by these truths as you've challenged my heart. We look forward to the evening and what you're going to teach us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. We're going to do a lot of flipping back and forth in these books. We won't take the time probably to read every passage of Scripture. But I want us to see, number one, we need preaching rather than programs. Preaching rather than programs. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 2 says, "Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine." Titus chapter 1 and verse 3, he says, "But hath in due times manifested his word through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God our Savior." The word preach is used 6 times in some form in these 3 books. God clearly emphasizes the preaching of the Word of God. Now, I'm not against programs. I think churches who say they don't have a program, they do. Okay? We started the service at 6 o'clock tonight. Ooh, that's a program. Be careful. We don't have a program. We just come whenever you want to. No, there has to be some organization. And God says, let all things be done decently in order. So there's nothing wrong with a program per se. But when a program becomes the dominant factor rather than the preaching of the Word of God, we have problems. You'll see next week in our youth department, we've put together a program that we want to minister to the young people, but we don't want that to overshadow the preaching of the Word of God. And so we've promised here at Emmanuel, and if the Lord calls me as your pastor, this is not going to change. When you come to Emmanuel Baptist Church, you're going to get preached to. Preaching of the Word of God is going to be important. Number two, he says to these men, you need power rather than personality. Power rather than personality. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7 and 8, he says, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God." Look at chapter 3, verses 5 through 7. having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such, turn away. Verse 7, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. No other book does Paul mention people by name in a negative light like he does in these three books. He mentions them over and over in 1 Timothy 1 and verse 20, 2 Timothy 1 and verse 15, chapter 2 and verse 17 through 18, chapter 4 and verse 10 and verse 14. Paul deals with personalities, men who had a great influence, if you will, but didn't have the power of God. And the truth is, whoever God calls to be the next pastor here is going to be a different person than the person that you've had as your pastor. But God doesn't call a personality. He calls the power of God to be on people's lives. And I'm so grateful that God can use all kinds of people. The truth is, and anyone who's taught at the college can tell you, some of the guys that honestly, we're not sure they could have fought their way out of a wet paper sack are guys that God's greatly using because they just keep plowing ahead. They just keep doing what God told them to do. And they're not flashy and all this kind of stuff. And they're probably not ever going to be asked to preach on some big conference somewhere. But you ask them and they're like, well, yeah, we have five churches started now on this mission field. And we've seen it. You know, you're like, really? That's because it's the power of God, not a personality, that makes the difference. Number three, he tells them that they need truth rather than traditions. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 3 and 4. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. The word itching ears there means a desire to hear something pleasant. Just tickle the ears a little bit. And they're turning away from that which they need to hear, from that which they want to hear. We certainly are loaded with that today in our world. There's other verses that he talks about there. Truth is mentioned 13 times in these three books. Faith is mentioned 31 times. The gospel 4 times. The word of God 3 times. The word 5 times. Doctrine 16 times. 70 times in these three little books does he emphasize the truths that are found in this book. And Paul was saying, hey, we need truth rather than tradition. There's nothing wrong with traditions either. We can use those. We have some traditions around here. Pretty much the last week in September is missions conference. You can put it down, you know. We pretty much do that every year. Second weekend in December is cantata around here. We pretty much do that around here all the time. If we're going to have a fellowship, we're also going to have... See, that's tradition. You ought to be ashamed of yourself right now. No, we have some tradition, and that's okay. It's all right to have some tradition as long as that tradition doesn't trump the truth of the Word of God. Now we're in trouble. First church I served in as a paid staff member, and an older gentleman in the church, and we were discussing something that he wanted a particular way, and I was trying to show him clearly in the Word of God where he was wrong. We can't do it that way because... And I said to him, this Bible verse right here says we can't do it that way. He looked at me and he said, young man, you got a lot to learn. Baptist tradition outweighs the Word of God. I took a step back from him and said, I don't have anything else to say to you. That was the truth. I was only probably 22 at the time, but I knew enough to know that no tradition outweighs this book. This is the truth of the Word of God. Winfrey says about religion, I had a feeling and I wanted to find something more than doctrine. God is a feeling experience, not a believing experience. By the way, did you know she has her own church online and there are millions of followers? Boldness comes from knowing the truth of the Word of God on our side. And it doesn't mean that we have to be mean about it. We'll get to that in a few minutes. But we need to stand for truth. And when we have a tradition, if it's a fun tradition, that's fine. But it's not going to trump the Word of God. Paul reminds these young men of that. He says, number 4, we need sanctification rather than specific standards. Now, I want to get to this, so don't scream yet, okay? Look at Titus chapter 2, verse 11 through 14. He says, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works." Notice that the grace of God not only brought salvation to them, but it also brought them what we would call sanctification, that is, teaching them how to live. Now, I'm not saying that we as Emmanuel should not have standards. That's not what I'm saying. But I am saying that if we lift the standard above that which the Word of God is teaching, then we're wrong. Okay? It's great to have some specific things in place. I hope you have some. I hope you've built some fences in your life. If not, you're probably in trouble. But those things are derived from an obedience to Scripture. And what we need to allow people to do is the opportunity to grow in Christ so that they can reach some conclusions. Yes, teach them the Word of God. But instead of producing an outward form with no inward change, now we've got just Phariseeism. That was their problem. And Jesus told them, "You're whited sepulchres. You're full of dead men's bones." And over again, he deals with this in this passage of Scripture. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 7. Notice how many times he talks about teaching. The word teach is used 16 times in these three books. 7 times we're told to exhort. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 7. "Whereunto I am ordained a preacher and an apostle, I speak the truth in Christ and lie not, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity." That word verity is truth. In faith and truth. Look at Titus chapter 2 and verse 4. It's talking about the aged women, that they may teach the younger women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Paul's saying, teach the word of God and allow that word to transform lives. I believe this book can change lives. I believe it can. And you know what? The truth is, though we are a body of believers and we love each other and we fellowship together, the truth is there are going to be differences of opinions in this room. That's just a reality. You know that a liberal person is anybody with lower standards than you, and a legalist is anybody with higher standards than you. That's the way a lot of people look at it. But the truth is, all of us, because of a different background or whatever, we're going to have a variety of standards. Okay, let's focus on the truth of this book. And by the way, I'm not talking about negotiable things here. We're not talking about the black and white issues of the Word of God. If you come to me and say, "Yeah, I just have a different view on the resurrection. I don't really believe he rose from that." Okay, we got a problem there. We're not talking about those things. Paul says, look, teach the Word of God. Let it be what guides people's lives. Number 5, we need responsibility rather than results. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12. And I'm going to read all these verses because I think it's important. 1 Timothy 1 and verse 12. "And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry." Chapter 4 and verse 6. Chapter 4 and verse 6. "If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained." Chapter 5, verse 24 and 25. "Some men's sins are open beforehand, going before to judgment, and some men they follow after. Likewise also the good works of some are manifest beforehand, and they that are otherwise cannot be hid." 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Second Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. "For I am now ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. You know, you can read from 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 1, all the way to the end of Titus chapter 3, and not one time do you find Paul mentioning numbers. Not once. But he does mention faithfulness. And he's telling these preacher boys, you be faithful to what God has called you to do. And let God worry about the numbers. Now, this is important. Numbers represent people that we're reaching, so I'm not against numbers. But I know some wonderful people who have pastored some tremendous churches, and they never broke above 40. You've never heard their name. I met a guy one time in Ogden, Utah. Was preaching at a camp there, and he was a local church pastor of a little mountain community, Mormon, dominated by Mormons, and a college town. He was bivocational, and he had never been full-time in his church. He would build his church to 40 or 50, and then they'd move out of the college town. And he'd go back to work, winning kids to Christ that would come into a Mormon college. And he just worked and worked and worked and worked and worked. And I'm not sure that he would have ever had a church above 40. And by statistical analysis, we would say he was a failure. But I don't think that's what God thought. You know, I determined that week, the first morning I got up pretty early, and he was already on his knees when I got out of bed. We were in the same room together. And I thought, oh, that's kind of neat. I love seeing men on their knees before God. And so the next morning, I thought, I'm going to get up earlier. I'm going to beat this guy out of bed. I was there 6 days, and I kept setting my alarm earlier, and I never did beat him out of bed. I don't know what time he got out of bed, but it didn't matter what time I got out of bed. He was already on his knees before God, begging God to do something at that camp. Do you know what's interesting? I don't remember his name. I don't think that's the point God wanted to teach me. God says, you just be responsible. Let the results be left up to me. Sometimes it may be difficult. Paul tells Timothy in 2 Timothy 1 and verse 4 that he was mindful of his tears. It was not easy. Number 6, we need meekness rather than meanness. Meekness rather than meanness. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 24 through 26 says, and the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil who are taken captive by him at his will. Paul says a preacher of the gospel is supposed to be meek, and he's supposed not to strive, and he's to be gentle and apt to teach and patient. And you're helping people who are opposing themselves, who are taken captive by the devil. Those can be frustrating people, but he says you just keep loving them and keep working with them. And you don't need to be mean. You just need to be meek. It doesn't mean that we don't ever call out sin. Paul certainly does that. Or even call out names. Paul does that at times too. Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his works. Paul was not afraid to mention names, but Paul was telling these guys, hey, whoa, there's no place for us to be mean about it in the Word of God. Lastly, he says that we need edification rather than empty words. We're not going to take the time to read all these verses, but when you get a chance, read those and see how many times Paul mentions vain jangling, wives' tales, fables, and so forth. And he over and over and over. Matter of fact, you can see all the references there. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 times in 3 short books, he tells them, stop worrying about crazy questions. I'm doing that on purpose right before question and answer. I'm kidding. You know, don't worry about those things. Hey, how about just building up the church? How about not just answering crazy, you know, how many angels can dance on the head of a needle? Yeah, all this kind of crazy stuff, all right? I don't know what all of these were about. There is some ideas if you studied out what the Jewish wives' tales were and the fables and all those kind of stuff. The fact was, he told these guys, don't get caught up in that. Just spend time edifying people. Just build up people. Not empty or useless discussions and matters that really doesn't profit anything. I'm so grateful that we've never been a church that really majors on that stuff. Now, you've heard churches fight over the color of paint and the color of carpet and all that. That kind of stuff is useless. That does nothing to build us up. And I'm grateful we've never dealt with that here. We don't have carpet. That's why. No, I'm kidding. Those kind of things don't do anything to advance the cause of Christ. So let's quickly look back over the things that I believe Paul, and I tried to hurry tonight. Preaching rather than programs. Power rather than personality. Truth rather than traditions. Sanctification rather than specific standards. Responsibility rather than results. Meekness rather than meanness. Edification rather than empty words. Don't stray away. Don't stray away. Paul says, be careful. I'm about to depart. My ministry is just about done. And when I'm done, you men remember these truths. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. I'm grateful, Lord, that we have the word of God in which we can depend. We can place our feet squarely on it. And when we don't know what to do, we can go back to the truth of the word of God. And Lord, if we're just offering opinions, our opinions are no better than the next guy's. When we stand solidly on the truth of the word of God, we can be confident. Thank you for these reminders to Timothy and Titus, but certainly reminders for us from the great apostle Paul. Help us as a church. Help me as an individual to remember these truths. And we'll thank you for it. In Christ's name we pray.